Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. So over the next couple months, we're going to be going over the Ten Commandments. And the reason we are starting with the Ten Commandments is because so many of us are missing amazing things that the Ten Commandments stand for and what they mean. And I've heard some really interesting thoughts about the Ten Commandments. And so here are a couple that I actually remember. I have heard some people say, yeah, these are great things, the Ten Commandments, but they're outdated. We don't need to use them anymore. I have heard that this is just a set of rules that we have to follow. And the only reason we have to follow these rules is because it makes God happy. And then my favorite that I've heard is that the Ten Commandments, oh, that's so easy. I don't kill people, and I only believe in one God. I'm like, that's great. That's a wonder. I'm glad you're not killing people, and I'm glad that you believe in one God. So those are good things, and I understand the thoughts and the logic behind it, but I think we're missing what the Ten Commandments are really about. And the simple truth is that these are not just some rules to put us in line. Yes, these are things that God is asking us to obey, but there's a bigger reason that we may be missing. And one of the biggest problems we can have when looking at the commandments of God is we see them as some outdated law that was put in place thousands of years ago that it really doesn't apply to us today. And truth be told, it's because there are some rules we are told to follow that really don't have a lot of meaning today. There are some rules that we make today that some of us say, yeah, they're great, and some say these are ridiculous rules to have. And so I wanted to share some of these rules that maybe some people follow and some people hate. So I want to just go over a small list here. The first one, and I have heard debates over it, it's not as serious as I'm kind of making it out to seem, but this law is jaywalking. Jaywalking is when you cross a road that is not designated area to cross, you are doing something illegal. And this is illegal in every single state. So if you find yourself crossing the street at a place that is not designated for pedestrians, you are breaking the law. Now, some say that is just dumb, that's ridiculous, that's a law that needs to go away. And others say that is a law that was put in place for everyone's safety. And if you look at that law, in some instances, it is very important to use those crosswalks. It is for everyone's safety. And then in other instances, you'll look and go, this is ridiculous, I can just walk across the street. Why do I got to go all the way down there? But the truth is, whether you feel it is a good rule or not, it does exist. It is a law. And you're going to choose whether or not you're going to follow it. But we have to think of God's commandments differently, because these are not just suggestions to follow. And the reason we are to follow them is not so God can control us. Today, we're going to take a look at what happened before God gave these Ten Commandments. And it's so we can understand what God was doing here. What was the reason that God said, here, these are these Ten Commandments? So we're going to start out in Exodus 19, 1 through 20. It says, on the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words of the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain." After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, "Prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations." On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up. The first thing we're going to focus on is the first six verses that we read. If you do not know what God is talking about here in this part, I need to give you a quick recap. It says it was the third moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt. So what had just happened is the Israelites, God's people, they were enslaved by the Egyptians for hundreds of years. God promised them that he would free them and take them to the promised land. God sent a man named Moses to speak for God and to free the people. This is where you can read about the plagues that came upon Egypt. And the Pharaoh at this time, he was hurt and angry from all of these things that were happening. So he frees the Israelites after the death of his firstborn son. All the Israelites pack up and they start moving out of Egypt. And God leads them with fire and smoke to show them where to go. And then God has Moses, his servant, they split the Red Sea where the Israelites walked to freedom. The Egyptians start following them and they're coming after the Israelites to bring them back. But what happens is when they are walking on that dry land, it all of a sudden closes and all of the Egyptians are swept away. The whole story, it's amazing. I urge you to go back in Exodus and read it in the Bible. But I'm also going to say, if you're like me, go watch The Prince of Egypt. It's fantastic. Okay, The Prince of Egypt is wonderful, but it is not the full story. That is just a gist of the story. I want you to read it from the Bible and know that that is the whole story and the true story, but The Prince of Egypt does a great job. But so here in these verses, we read that God brought them out of slavery. He did all of these amazing things for them. And God tells Moses to remind the people this one simple truth through it all. The truth is that God loves them, that God wants them, and God is trying to help them in every way, shape, and form. He says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians for you, how I did the impossible." And he says, "I put you on eagle's wings and you soared out of there." What he's saying is you didn't even have to fight your way out. You didn't fight out of slavery. You didn't have to go through all of these hardships to free yourself. God took care of it for them. All they had to do was listen and follow. But verse 5 and 6 is where the truth sinks in. And he says, "Now you know who I am. You know that I love you. You know what I will do for you. And God says, obey my voice. Keep my covenant, meaning keep the contract that we have between us. And if you do this, God says, you will be my treasured people above all other people. And God puts a reminder in here. He says, the whole earth, everything, it's mine. Everything in it, everything on it, I created it all. And he says, but you people who follow me, will make you a holy nation. If you go back and read some of the things that happened before Exodus 19, you're going to realize something really quickly. And it's not that the Israelites were just great people. They weren't great. They had a lot of problems. They had a lot of struggles. They had a lot of sin. It's not that God did this for them because they deserved it. God did this because he loves us first. And that is still true today. God was talking about his chosen people here. We understand that. He was speaking to the Israelites, but he's also speaking to us today because first and foremost, we have to understand that God loves you first. It's not that you have to love him and then he will love you. We need to know that every good and perfect gift, whether we're following him or not, that's from God. You know his love. You can feel his love. You may have even gotten to see his love and didn't even realize it, how he's taken care of you. I know there are days I can look back on my life and I say, the only reason I got through this is because God was there for me, being strong for me. He saw me through. He helped me. So God is saying to them here, I love you. I have shown that I love you. Now follow me. So God tells all this to Moses and tells the people, God wants to show everyone his love. So this is not just for Moses. Because sometimes we say, well, yeah, because it's Moses and he's so much better than us and he's closer to God. God is saying, I want this for everyone. Verse 9, God says, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud. If you get to see this either on stream, in person, you can see our clouds on the stage, and that's really what I wanted, because to know that God is here, and he came in this thick cloud for the people, and it was so that the people, they may hear when he speaks with Moses, so that they can believe it forever, so they can know and just witness it, and they can know that this is God. That these things that Moses is bringing back to the people, you can know that's from God because they saw the clouds. They saw everything happening. Moses goes and talks to the people, and he says, I want you to do a couple things. This is what God's asking. He says, stay clean and don't touch the things that God says do not touch. Now, obviously, that is a quick gist of all those verses of what they are to do, but that's exactly what he's telling us. And we have to put ourselves in that position. If you had the opportunity to witness God speaking to someone, to know that someone was going to talk to God and you would get to see it all happening, I bet these rules, these commandments, they wouldn't be so hard to follow. They wouldn't be something you go, do I really want to do that? No, you're going to be definitely running over there. You wouldn't question it. God said, clean up and don't touch the mountain. I'm going to be the first person running home to wash all of my clothes and to go take a shower. I'm going to look pretty dapper. I'm getting all done up, making sure I am good to go because God said, clean up. I will do it. And I'm going to be the first one waiting at the bottom of the mountain because God is going to show up there. But not getting too close to the mountain that I may trip and fall on it. I know who I am. I know what's going to happen. I know I'll be like, I'll talk and I'll be excited and I'll trip over a bush or a kid and I'll touch the mountain. And what does it say when you touch the mountain? You're going to die. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow those commands. I'm going to give myself some space because I know God said, do not touch the mountain. Again, these were commandments. These were God's laws and rules. And I know I'm not the only one that's going to be running home to take care of those things. There's going to be quite a few of us that are getting ready. But then it gets a little more real. Verse 16 says, on the morning of the third day, There was thunder and lightning, and a thick cloud comes onto the mountain, and a loud trumpet blasts. It says it was so loud that it caused the people to tremble. It had to be so startling for multiple reasons. First and foremost, God said this would happen, and now it's happening, which means, he's coming. God's gonna be here. The people heard all over that this is gonna happen, so they start heading to the mountain. They're going to wait to hear what God is going to tell Moses. Now all of a sudden there's smoke, fire, consuming the mountain. And it says the trumpet, it grew louder and louder, and then thunder started booming. Let's take a minute to appreciate what's really happening here. It would be such an amazing sight to see. So many emotions would be going through your head. Because you have to think about it from where they were to what was happening. For these people, God saved them from slavery. But you have to think about it. If you were just one in the group, you think about all the Christians that we have today, you're one in a million right here in America. And it's kind of that way where, you know, what God said to all of the people, you're all going to be free. And so you're just one of those people that's told, by the way, make sure that you gather your stuff. We're leaving. We're leaving? Oh, okay, we're leaving. That's great. Who's leading us? Moses. I've not even met Moses. Okay, I will do that. And so you start following along what everybody's saying. And so you're led out of slavery here. And you're just kind of going with the flow. You're not one of the big heads and the big names out there. So then you get to the Red Sea and you're like, what's happening? What's next? And all of a sudden the sea parts and you start walking across and you're like, well, this is amazing. This is obviously God has taken care of these things. And so you know it's real and it's God, but you weren't there to experience it firsthand. But now in this moment, God is right there on that mountain. All the power, all the awesomeness of God is right there on that mountain. If we could just witness that now, everyone would be in awe. And we would be able to say, that is our mighty God. You have to understand, we do get to see that now. A little different. But now we have, God is with us. God lives in us. There is no separation between us and God anymore because of his Son. I'm telling you now, when you know who God is, when you know what he has done for you personally, you know that God is not some mean boss with a list of demands, but that God is an all-powerful, and more importantly, that God is an all-loving Father. And he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to live and die for you. Now you get to have that awesome power in you and in your life. With that being said, this should change your thoughts on God's commandments. It's not a list of rules. It is God showing us love. He's trying to help us. All of this is so that we can follow him with our lives, so that we can glorify him in everything that we do. That is what the commandments are for. And we have to understand that God loved us first. He says, love me by following my commandments. So what are the Ten Commandments? So we're going to turn to Exodus 20. It's just the next chapter over. Exodus 20, 1 through 17. 1 through 17. It says, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So it starts off again, letting us know who is asking these things of you. He says, I am the Lord your God. Remember, I am the one who brought you out of slavery. The Israelites were brought out of slavery in Egypt. And today we are brought out of slavery in sin. You're no longer living a life for sin. That's the slavery and bondage that was broken for us. So we get this list. And you may be saying, you know what? I know these already. Or you may be saying, I'm not sure what all of these mean. Well, don't worry. We're going to be going over each and every single one of them, talking about what they mean and what they mean for us today. But with that being said, you can see a pattern here. So the first four commandments that God gives us are all about following God, showing God your love for him. And then the next six are how we are to treat each other. If you are a person who says that this doesn't apply at all today because we follow the New Testament, I want to say to you right now, first and foremost, the Old Testament and the New Testament, they are one. They work together, not against each other. You're missing key parts of what the Bible is saying if you do not see that they work together. And if you want to know more about how they work together, join us Tuesday nights here at the Deep Dive. That's exactly what that is about. It's about us going through the Old and New Testament and how they work together. But the truth is, you have to know that they do completely work together. And Jesus talks about this in Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. And so we're going to turn to what Jesus says here about the commandments. And we have to remember that the commandments we read in Exodus and what Jesus is talking about here, it's 1,500 years apart. 1,500. It's not that it was given, 40 years ago. 1,500 years apart, and it still applies. So let's go ahead and read Matthew 22, 34 through 40. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. These men that know the law, they know the Big Ten from Moses, but they also know the other 600 plus laws that God has commanded them to follow. So what they're trying to do here is they're trying to trip up Jesus. So they ask Jesus, which law then is the greatest commandment from God? And the truth is, they all matter. Every single commandment, it matters. So this question was hoping to prove that Jesus is a liar, that Jesus is a false teacher. But Jesus answers with, first commandment is, love your Lord God with all your heart, with with all your soul, with all your mind. And if you think about those four commandments that God gave to Moses, they can all be covered right there in what Jesus said. When you love God with your whole being, you are going to follow him. You will serve him, and nothing on this earth will matter more than him. Then Jesus says, the second command is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. As we read in Exodus 20, that covers the rest of the commandments. If we show the same love to people that God has shown us, we will keep all of those commandments that we talked about and how we need to treat others in this world. But it all comes down to this. We have this one big question that we have to answer today, and that is, why should we follow the Ten Commandments? The why is what matters. And you have to ask yourself, why do I want to follow these commandments? And there's a couple reasons that people do. Is it out of fear? Is that why you're going to follow the Ten Commandments? Are you going to follow it because we think that, you know what, when we're doing good things, then God will be happy? Are we going to do it, you know, just because God said so? Well, God said it, so sure, why not? I'll go ahead and do it. Is it because we want that reward that comes in the end, the eternity with God? Are we working for the prize? We have to ask ourselves, why do we follow God's commands? And the reason we should follow the Ten Commandments, very simple, because God loves us first. He's done it all for us so that we can live a life that can be holy and pleasing to God, that we can live a life that glorifies him in everything that we do. It's like we talked about in last week's sermon, the love of Christ, it compels me. It pulls from my innermost being. I want to follow God and his commands because I cannot help but do anything else. That's all I can do because he loves me so much, and I want to show him how much I love him. Over the next weeks, we're going to look at what these commandments mean in depth. Because we read, do not kill, and we think, I'm doing great there. Nailed it. I'm good to go. We think, I only worship one God, so I'm fine. But we miss what God really wants from us and for us. And that's why we're going to go right into them completely.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.